dear listeners, to another episode of Midnight Tales, where the boundary between the known and the unknown blurs, and the shadows come to life. Tonight, we delve into the world of Damien Frost, a man who claimed to communicate with the dead, a man who became a legend by offering hope to the grieving and answers to the desperate. But every legend has its dark undercurrents, and every lie, no matter how carefully constructed, must in time unravel. In tonight's tale, we follow Damien's rise to fame as a celebrated medium, only to witness his spectacular fall when a sinister force takes control, exposing not only his fraudulent ways, but the ugly truths hidden behind the facades of those who came to him seeking comfort. What happens when the whispers of the dead reveal more than just comforting lies? When the spirits demand the truth, will it set anyone free? Or will it leave only devastation in its wake? This is the story of Damien Frost, a man who spoke for the dead, until the dead, perhaps, began to speak for him. So settle in, turn down the lights, and prepare yourself for tonight's chilling tale, The Final Seance. The truth can be a terrifying thing, especially when it's been hiding in plain sight all along. It began, as most tragic things do, in the quiet aftermath of loss. Damien Frost was just a boy when he first heard the voice. It came to him in the early hours when the world was still and the weight of grief settled over his chest like a damp fog. Ethan, his best friend, had died only days before, his small body claimed by the river that wound through their little town. It was one of those accidents that the adults would call senseless, as though giving it a name made it less unbearable. Damien had been there, watching, frozen. The details were hazy, too painful, too raw to be examined too closely. He had watched Ethan slip beneath the water, watched the surface ripple, and then grow still, but he hadn't moved. Couldn't move. Guilt, cold, and sharp, had taken root in his chest that day, coiling tighter with each breath. He hadn't known how to carry it, how to make sense of the hollow ache that gnawed at his insides. That night after the funeral, with his parents asleep in the next room and the house cloaked in shadows, Damien lay awake, staring at the ceiling. Sleep, elusive and cruel, danced just beyond his reach. It was in that silence that he first heard it, a whisper, soft but unmistakable. "It's not your fault." He sat up, heart hammering against his ribs, his breath caught in his throat. He strained to listen, his small hands clutching the blanket so tightly his knuckles turned white. "I'm still here." The voice was familiar, achingly so. Ethan's voice, the same as it had been that morning they'd run laughing through the fields, their lives stretching endlessly before them, unaware of how swiftly time could close in. Damien's heart lurched. Ethan, his friend, gone but not gone? The rational part of him, still forming in the mind of an 11-year-old, said it couldn't be. But that part was buried under layers of guilt, grief, and something dangerously close to hope. And hope, fragile as it was, could trick the heart into believing the impossible. He whispered back into the darkness, voice trembling. "Ethan." The reply came more certain this time. "I'm still here, Damien. I'll always be here." The knot of guilt loosened just a fraction. It didn't matter that Ethan wasn't there in any way that made sense. It didn't matter that the air remained thick and still, with no sign of his friend. The voice was enough. It was the salve Damien didn't know he needed, a way to soothe the wound that grief had left behind. The conversations continued night after night. Ethan's voice became a constant presence, a gentle murmur in the quiet moments, a whisper when the loneliness grew too great. In time, Damien stopped questioning it. After all, hadn't he heard stories? Stories of people who could speak with the dead, people who had gifts that couldn't be explained? Maybe, just maybe, he was one of them. And maybe, he thought, he wasn't quite as alone as he had feared. But gifts, if that's what it was, come with a price. One that, at 11 years old, Damien couldn't have begun to understand. Years passed, and with them, the boy who had once whispered to ghosts grew into a man who had mastered the art of the dead. Damien Frost, now in his mid-30s, had crafted himself into something of a legend. His name, soft, cool, like the edge of a winter breeze, was whispered in the same reverence as those who had built empires on the belief that life and death were not so distant from each other. He stood tall and confident, always impeccably dressed in tailored suits that spoke of success, wealth, and just the right amount of mystery. The quiet town where he had first heard Ethan's voice was a memory, buried beneath the gleam of city lights and theater marquees. These days, Damien played to crowds. Thousands would flock to see him perform his gift, to watch as he, with the poise of a seasoned stage actor, conjured voices from the beyond, filling the room with the whispers of the lost. He had transcended the small, grieving boy he once was. Now he was a man of stature, wealth, and influence, with his name plastered on billboards and magazines, accompanied by words like phenomenon and medium extraordinaire. But it wasn't the dead who built Damien's success. Not really. It was the living, their grief, their longing for closure, and their desperate hope that someone, anyone, could bring back the voices of those they had loved and lost. Damien had learned long ago that people didn't want truth. They wanted comfort, a balm for the wounds left by time and tragedy. And Damien provided it, at a price. His method was polished, professional. He had perfected the art of cold reading, observing the flicker of an eyelash, the tightening of a jaw, the subtle shifts in posture that gave away more than any spirit ever could. A nod here, a knowing smile there, and people would spill their secrets without realizing it. His real gift, he had come to understand, wasn't speaking to the dead, it was reading the living. It wasn't difficult. Research did most of the work. A name, a face, a bit of digital sleuthing, and Damien could weave a story so believable, so intimate, that no one thought to question it. They wanted to believe, after all. Grief makes believers of us all. Still, there was a part of Damien, buried deep beneath the layers of performance and carefully constructed deception, that held on to the voice of Ethan. That part, the flicker of the boy he had once been, convinced itself that his gift was real, or at least had been once. He had heard Ethan, hadn't he? That voice had saved him from drowning in his own guilt. Maybe it still existed, somewhere beyond the smoke and mirrors. He told himself this lie often, especially when the guilt of his profession, what little of it remained, pressed at the corners of his conscience. But greed, as it does, made it easier to quiet the doubts. There was always a bigger show, a higher payout, another eager client willing to empty their wallets for a few minutes of manufactured closure. Damien's rise wasn't just about money, though that flowed easily enough. No, it was the fame that fed him. The adoration, the flashing cameras, the breathless applause after each performance. The world believed in him, and in their belief, Damien had found a new kind of power. He had learned to revel in it, like a drug, each new show a hit, each tearful thank you a reminder of his mastery over people's hearts. He had begun to crave it. Fame wasn't just his reward, it was his lifeblood. And so, the boy who had once whispered to ghosts was now a man who manipulated the grieving, packaging their pain and selling it back to them. The more he did it, the more natural it became, until the distinction between the lie and the truth blurred into nothing. To Damien, it was no longer deception, it was performance, art. Still, on those rare nights when he found himself alone, long after the theater lights had dimmed and the applause had faded, he sometimes felt it, the faint echo of a voice that had long since fallen silent. Ethan, his name a whisper, just on the edge of hearing. I'm still here. It was just his imagination, of course, a trick of the mind. That's what he told himself, anyway, as he stared into the dark of his luxurious penthouse, far above the city's sleeping streets. There were no ghosts, not really. But as his fame grew, so did the whispers creeping in at the edges of his mind. They followed him, a shadow to his success, a constant reminder of something he couldn't quite place. At first, they were soft, easily ignored. But over time, they became louder, more insistent. He tried to drown them out with applause, with money, with more shows and more clients, but something was shifting, slipping from his control. His carefully crafted empire was beginning to show cracks, though he couldn't yet see them. The lie that had made him rich was starting to whisper back. And in those whispers, Damien Frost, king of the dead, began to hear the faint sound of something darker. The theater was grand, one of those old gilded relics from a time when opulence was worn like a crown. Its velvet curtains hung heavy and crimson, shimmering under the glow of chandeliers that swayed gently above. Tonight, the room was packed. A sold-out crowd, every seat filled with faces eager for a glimpse into the beyond. They whispered amongst themselves, their anticipation palpable, like static electricity in the air. Damien could feel it even from backstage, where he stood, alone in the dark, waiting for the show to begin. He adjusted the cuffs of his charcoal suit, his reflection ghostly in the small mirror propped on a vanity table. His hands, usually steady, trembled slightly. He flexed his fingers, willing the tremor to still. Nerves, he told himself. It was only natural. Even after all these years, the big show still got to him, the pressure of delivering the impossible weighing down on his shoulders. But it was more than that, wasn't it? The whispering had started again, faint, insidious. Ethan's voice. But it wasn't the soft comfort of his childhood anymore. No, now it held a mocking edge, like the wind through a cracked window on a winter's night. They're all watching you, Damien. What will they see? He shook his head, closing his eyes for a brief moment. Focus. It was just nerves. The same unease he always felt before a big performance. He had done this 100 times before. Thousands. Each time more successful than the last. And tonight? Tonight was the biggest show of his career. The culmination of all those years of perfecting his craft. Of becoming the man who could speak to the dead and walk the line between belief and deceit with flawless precision. Outside, the murmur of the crowd grew louder, and the house lights began to dim. His cue. Damien straightened his collar, smoothed the lapels of his jacket, and stepped forward, feeling the familiar rush of adrenaline as he approached the stage. The audience greeted him with rapturous applause as he stepped into the spotlight. The roar of it filled the cavernous space, reverberating off the high, domed ceiling. They adored him, every one of them. From the grieving widows clutching handkerchiefs to the curious skeptics waiting to be impressed, they all wanted one thing, to believe. Damien flashed his most charming smile, letting the applause wash over him like a balm. For a moment, the whispers in his head quieted, replaced by the heady rush of admiration. He was in control again. This was his domain, and they were here for him, to see what only he could do. He began as he always did, with a soft, somber tone that oozed sincerity. Thank you all for being here tonight. What we're about to do, it's sacred. It's about connection, about love that goes beyond the veil. I am merely the vessel through which those connections can be made. I do not bring the dead to you. They come of their own will. He let the words hang in the air for a moment, watching the crowd with practiced eyes. Some nodded, their faces already full of hope. Others sat stiffly, arms crossed, skeptical. It didn't matter. He would have them all by the end. Damien took his place in the center of the stage, the spotlight catching the sharp angles of his face, casting long shadows beneath his eyes. The theater fell silent. The crowd was breathless, waiting. He could feel their need, their hunger for the answers that had eluded them. It was intoxicating. Is there anyone here tonight who wishes to speak with a loved one who has passed on? Damien's voice was velvet, wrapping itself around the room, pulling them all into his web. Hands shot up across the audience. Dozens of them. Perfect. He scanned the crowd, his eyes settling on a woman near the front. She was older, her gray hair tied back in a neat bun, her hands trembling slightly in her lap. The grief was written across her face, so easy to see. Damien could spot it from a mile away. Widowed recently, if he had to guess. She had that hollow look, the kind that came from losing something irreplaceable. He pointed to her, his expression soft, inviting. You, my dear, what is your name? Elaine, she said, her voice wavering as she clutched the edge of her chair. Elaine, Damien repeated, drawing the name out slowly, giving it weight. I sense a presence near you, a strong one, someone you love dearly, a man, your husband, perhaps? Elaine gasped, her hand flying to her chest. Yes, she whispered, my husband. Damien nodded, the pieces falling into place. He had already known, of course, His team had done their research well. But to the crowd, it looked as though the spirits themselves were whispering in his ear. "He's here, Elaine. He's reaching out to you, trying to say," Damien paused, closing his eyes for effect, as though straining to hear the voice from beyond. And that's when it happened. A cold, slithering sensation wrapped itself around his thoughts, pulling at the edges of his mind. Something dark, something wrong. It wasn't part of the plan, Damien faltered just for a second, but the crowd didn't notice. "Let me help you, Damien," the voice, Ethan's voice, no longer comforting, whispered from the recesses of his thoughts. "Tell her what you know," he tried to continue, his voice a little less steady now. "Elaine, your husband, he wants you to know he's at peace. But there's something else," the words caught in his throat. What was happening? His body felt stiff, like a marionette whose strings had been pulled too tight. The voice in his head grew louder, crueler. "You've been lying for so long, haven't you, Damien? All those people, all their pain. You've turned it into a spectacle. How does it feel now to be the one on display?" His heart raced, panic creeping in around the edges of his polished exterior. He tried to regain control, to push the voice down, but it was relentless. And then, without warning, Damien spoke words that were not his own. He wasn't faithful, was he, Elaine? The words left his mouth like poison, sharp and cold. "Your husband, he had secrets. He lied to you." The crowd gasped. Elaine's face went pale, her eyes wide with shock. "What? No, that's not true," she stammered, her hands trembling. Damien blinked, his mind reeling. What had he just said? That wasn't part of the script. He didn't know those things. Couldn't have known. The air in the theater seemed to thicken, pressing in around him, suffocating. His own voice sounded foreign, distorted, as though something else had taken control. And the whispers in his mind? Louder now. Too loud. "They'll know the truth soon, Damien. They'll all know." The theater was silent now, a heavy, suffocating silence, like the world itself was holding its breath. All eyes were on Damien, standing alone in the spotlight, the weight of their collective gaze pressing down on him. His head pounded, his pulse thudding in his ears. He tried to swallow, but his throat felt dry, like sandpaper. And there in the front row, Elaine, her eyes wide, brimming with tears, her lips trembling as she looked at him, her face a picture of hope and horror, a woman on the verge of collapse. Damien's words still hung in the air, twisting like smoke. He wasn't faithful, was he, Elaine? He could see the doubt flickering in her eyes, a desperate hope that what he'd said was just an illusion, a hook, a cheap one-liner meant to pull the crowd in. Clickbait. Surely, that's all it was, right? The crowd leaned forward, anticipation crackling in the air. They wanted to know more. They needed to know. Elaine clung to that tiny flicker of hope. Damien could see it, shimmering in her tear-drenched gaze. Maybe, just maybe, he would reveal that her husband hadn't been unfaithful to her at all. That it was a misunderstanding, a cruel trick of words. That the real unfaithfulness was his love, his unwavering, untold adoration for her. He'd failed to show her enough affection in life, but now, in death, he would confess his true devotion. That's what she needed to hear, what she wanted to hear. But Damien knew that wasn't what was coming. His chest tightened, the darkness coiling around him, pulling his thoughts apart like threads unraveling. The voice was there again, louder now, pushing against the inside of his skull. It laughed, a cruel, mocking sound that chilled him to the bone. "No more lies, Damien. Tonight, the lying stops." Damien's hands twitched at his sides, his fingers curling into tight fists as he tried to fight the words forming on his tongue. But he was losing control. It was slipping through his grasp like sand, the carefully constructed facade crumbling. The truth, dark, ugly, unwanted, was rising to the surface, and he could do nothing to stop it. He opened his mouth, his voice trembling, betraying him. "Elaine," he began, and the word fell from his lips like a stone, heavy and cold. "Your husband, he wasn't the man you thought he was." Elaine flinched as though struck. Her face, pale and tear-streaked, contorted into a mask of pain and confusion. The hope, That tiny spark she had clung to was flickering, dying. Damien's breath came in shallow, ragged bursts as he continued, unable to stop himself. He had another life, another woman. The words cut through the air like knives, slicing open the fragile space between the living and the dead. The audience gasped, their whispers like rustling leaves in the dark, but no one spoke. They were all hanging on his every word. Elaine's trembling hands rose to her mouth, stifling a sob. Her eyes, red and glistening, begged him to stop, to tell her it wasn't true. But the voice in Damien's head urged him on, relentless. Tell her what you know, Damien. The truth will set you free. His voice lowered, softer now, almost cruel in its gentleness. He was with her the night before he died. Damien's gaze locked onto hers, his voice impossibly steady now, as if someone else had taken over. They met at a hotel on the outskirts of town. He bought her lilies, just like he used to bring you. You never knew Elaine. You never saw the hotel receipts he kept hidden in his briefcase. Elaine let out a strangled cry, her body shaking as she gasped for air, her world collapsing around her. She had never known. She hadn't seen the signs, hadn't suspected a thing. And now, standing here in this theater, under the cold clinical lights, her husband's betrayal was laid bare for all to see. Damien wanted to stop, wanted to reach out to her, to say anything that would ease the crushing weight of the truth he'd just delivered. But he couldn't. The voice in his head laughed again, dark and satisfied. Lies, Damien. You've built everything on lies. And tonight, it ends. Damien could barely breathe as he continued, his voice tightening, his grip on reality slipping. He thought he could hide it, that you would never find out. But now he's gone, and he can't lie to you anymore. The theater seemed to close in around them, the walls shrinking, the air thick with tension. The audience was spellbound, watching the devastation unfold before them. Caught between their sympathy for the broken widow and their morbid curiosity for the train wreck that Damien's seance had become. And through it all, Damien's mind was screaming, stop, stop. But the voice told him otherwise. Isn't this what you've always done? You lie to people. You lie to make them feel better, to keep them coming back, to keep them hoping. You've always known this was a lie. But tonight, you will set them free. A bitter, metallic taste filled Damien's mouth as he choked on the words that were no longer his own. Your husband, he loved her, Elaine. And he would have left you for her if he hadn't died that night. Elaine collapsed back into her seat, her face buried in her hands, the sobs shaking her fragile frame. The crowd murmured, unsettled, their excitement now laced with discomfort. They had come for comfort, for closure. But this was something else, something darker. Damien stood there, frozen, watching as the life he had built on lies began to unravel in front of him. The widow, broken, the audience on edge, and his voice no longer his own, betraying him. And yet, somewhere deep inside him, beneath the fear and the guilt, a small part of Damien felt the truth. The voice was right. He had been lying. All along, he had lied to people, to soothe their grief, to feed their need for answers that would never come. He had told them what they wanted to hear, crafting stories that kept them coming back, desperate for more of his false comfort. But tonight, the lies were over. Tonight, the truth, the dark, ugly truth, would be told. And it wouldn't set anyone free. Not Elaine, and certainly not Damien Frost. The atmosphere in the theater shifted, thickening like a storm cloud moments before the first crack of thunder. The unsettled murmurs in the crowd were growing louder, the whispers spreading like wildfire. Damien stood at the center of it all, but the ground beneath him felt as if it were tilting, the world slipping out of focus. His hand was shaking now, a cold sweat clinging to his skin. He could feel it pooling under his collar, the wetness crawling down his spine. He tried to stop, to regain some semblance of control, but his body wasn't his own anymore. He had lost the reins. The voice had taken them. Go on, Damien. Let's tell them what they don't want to hear. He was moving again, his feet carrying him forward, his eyes locking onto the next person in the crowd, a middle-aged man, seated near the back, wide-eyed and pale. Damien didn't need to ask his name. The knowledge came unbidden, like a flood washing over his senses. He opened his mouth, and the words tumbled out before he could stop them. Your father, you never told anyone, did you? Not even your wife. Damien's voice was sharp, each word a knife slicing through the air. The man's face drained of color, his hands gripping the armrest of his seat as if to steady himself. You've carried it for years, haven't you? Damien's eyes gleamed in the dim light. All those years he hurt you, behind closed doors. You still dream about it, wake up in a sweat, can't shake it, can't tell anyone. His voice softened, almost a whisper now. You've been living with that lie, and he died before you could confront him, before you could ask him why. The man was trembling, his mouth opening and closing, but no words came out. The crowd shifted uncomfortably, people exchanging nervous glances. No one dared to speak, but the tension was suffocating. Damien felt the thrill of it, the power surging through him. But it wasn't his power. No, he was merely a vessel now, a puppet being pulled by invisible strings. His heart raced, his chest tight, but his legs moved him forward, his voice betraying him again. A woman in the front row, her eyes wide with shock, was next. You were with him when he died, Damien said, his voice dripping with accusation. You told your family you were there, holding his hand, but you weren't. You were with someone else. He smiled, but it wasn't his smile. It was cold, mocking. He knows. He knows you lied. You missed his final breath, all because you couldn't bear to be near him. The woman's face crumpled, her body shaking as sobs racked her frame. Someone nearby reached out, trying to comfort her, but the damage was done. Damien could hear the whispers rising, louder now, the audience teetering on the edge of panic. Chaos was brewing. It was only a matter of time before it erupted. And then, as if the dam had finally burst, someone shouted from the back. What is this? This isn't what we came for. The voice was angry, frightened, but it was too late. The room was turning on itself. People began reaching for their phones, their faces illuminated by the glow of screens as they started filming. Despite the strict instructions before the show, no recording, no phones allowed. The warnings were forgotten in the wake of the spectacle unfolding before them. Damien's deepest fears, his greatest secrets, were spilling out in front of everyone, and no one could look away. They're watching, Damien. Everyone's watching. He could feel his body weakening, the cold sweat soaking through his shirt. His legs were shaking, but they wouldn't give way. Something was holding him up, something stronger than his failing body. The voice. It was the only thing keeping him from collapsing to the floor. He felt hollow, drained, like a puppet whose strings were fraying, but still being pulled. His eyes darted across the room, finding their next target, a young woman maybe in her 20s, sitting near the aisle. She had been quiet, clutching the arm of her chair, her face pale. He moved toward her, feeling the fever pitch in his veins, his heart pounding erratically. Your mother, he began, his voice low but sharp. She never wanted you to know, but you weren't the first. The young woman's eyes widened in confusion. Before you, there was another, a child she lost, and she never told you. She kept it a secret, pretended it never happened. But you felt it, haven't you? Like something missing, something that's been lurking in the corners of your family, a shadow. The woman recoiled, her hand flying to her mouth as if to stifle a scream. Her face twisted in horror, her eyes brimming with tears she hadn't expected to shed tonight. Around her, the crowd stirred, the air electric with tension and disbelief. The theater was descending into madness, and Damien was at the center of it, unraveling secrets no one had asked to know. He could hear the murmurs growing louder, the panic setting in. But still, he couldn't stop. The voice was in control now, forcing the words from his mouth, driving the chaos forward. This is what you've always done, Damien. You've lied to them again and again. And now the truth will come. No more lies. Not tonight. His vision blurred, and his breath came in ragged gasps. The fever burned hotter now, the clammy sweat sticking to his skin like a second layer. His legs buckled, but he didn't fall. He couldn't. Something, someone was keeping him upright. The voice, always the voice. The crowd was buzzing, a low hum of unease, but the phones were still pointed at him, capturing every moment, every revelation. This was no seance anymore. This was a spectacle, a horror show, and Damien was the star, trapped in a performance he had never rehearsed for. He tried to open his mouth, tried to speak something, anything, to stop this, but all that came out was a jagged breath, a whispered plea to no one in particular. It stops tonight, Damien. The lying ends here. And with that, the last of his strength drained from his body. His mind screamed, but his limbs wouldn't obey. He was a puppet, his strings pulled taut, dancing to the will of something far more powerful than himself. The demon, or whatever it was, had him now, and there was nothing left of Damien Frost but the hollow shell standing on that stage, feeding the chaos below. The theater was a maelstrom of chaos now, the tension in the air thick enough to choke on. The audience had transformed from quiet spectators into a restless, shifting sea of bodies. The glow of phone screens lit up the darkened room, hundreds of eyes, wide with shock and morbid curiosity, fixed on Damien. He could feel them, feel the weight of their gaze, their disbelief, their horror. It crushed him, but still his body wouldn't fall. He stood, propped up by that invisible force, his legs weak, his breath shallow. His mind screamed, but it was as if the voice had hollowed him out, leaving nothing but a vessel, a conduit for its will. Let's tell them the truth, Damien. Show them who you really are. The voice slithered through his thoughts, cold and mocking, driving him toward the inevitable. He tried to resist, tried to pull back from the edge, but it was too late. His lips parted, and the words began to spill out, slow and deliberate, each one cutting deeper into the fragile reality he had spent years constructing. You all came here tonight, Damien began, his voice dripping with venom, because you wanted to believe. You want me to lie to you, to tell you that your loved ones are still out there, watching over you, caring for you. He paused, scanning the crowd, his eyes catching on the tear-streaked faces, the shock etched into every expression. The temperature in the room seemed to drop, and a hush fell over the crowd. Even the murmurs of disbelief faded into silence as they waited, watched, unable to tear themselves away. But here's the truth. Damien's voice grew louder, sharper, filled with a cruel edge. There are no ghosts, no spirits waiting on the other side, nothing. His lips twisted into a bitter, mocking smile. You think I've been talking to your dead loved ones? Think again. I've been talking to you, feeding off your grief, your pain, your pathetic little hopes. He could hear gasps from the crowd, see the horror creeping into their faces. But they weren't leaving. They were rooted in place, like moths drawn to the flicker of the flame that would consume them. Damien felt a surge of heat in his chest, a burning anger he hadn't even realized he'd been holding back. You all came here tonight for comfort, didn't you? To hear that your husbands, your wives, your children are still watching over you, that they still care. He let out a low, humorless laugh, the sound grating and cold. But that's not what you need. You need this, the truth. And the truth is you've been lied to. His head spun as the words tumbled out of him, the confession tearing through his throat like jagged glass. He wanted to stop to close his mouth, but the voice, the demon, pushed him forward, driving the blade deeper. All of you, he continued, his voice rising now, you think I've been talking to your dead husbands, your wives, your children, but all I've been doing is selling you lies. You eat them up because you want to believe. You need to believe that there's something beyond this life. That death isn't the end. The crowd was shifting, restless, the murmurs growing louder. Some were crying, others shaking their heads in disbelief, but still, they didn't leave. They couldn't. And you know what's worse? Damien spat, his face twisted into a grotesque grin. You've paid me to lie to you. You've handed me your money, your secrets, your grief, and I've turned it into a show, a performance. His chest heaved, his breath ragged, but still, the words poured out. Do you want to hear how it's done? His eyes glinted with a manic light, his voice trembling with mockery. You plant a few assistants in the crowd. They do the legwork, dig up the dirt, find out all your little secrets. Then I stand here on this stage and pretend I'm hearing it from the dead. A woman near the front gasped, her hands flying to her mouth, tears streaming down her face. Damien pointed at her, his grin widening. Your son, he sneered. The one you think I'm talking to? I've never heard a word from him. You told the world he loved fishing, didn't you? But I know he hated it. Hated every second of those trips you dragged him on. The woman sobbed, shaking her head, but Damien kept going, his voice sharp and cruel. You never knew him, not really. And now you'll never know him. He's gone. And all you have left is the lies I fed you. The crowd was growing restless now, a low murmur of confusion and shock spreading like wildfire. People were whispering, shifting in their seats, some beginning to edge toward the exits. But most stayed. They couldn't look away. This was more than a seance now. It was a reckoning. Damien's voice dropped, a cold, mocking tone replacing the earlier intensity. He felt the demon inside him, puppeteering his every move. I've been lying to all of you for years, and you've begged me for it. You've come to me, time and again, desperate for more lies, more comfort, more of the illusion that your loved ones are still out there, waiting for you. Then something broke inside him, snapped in a way that felt both final and liberating. He straightened up, his body moving on its own, as if the voice were physically lifting him. He laughed a low, guttural sound and began mimicking the voices of the dead. His voice shifted in pitch, one moment soft and motherly, the next gravelly and low. I'm watching over you, darling, he said in a saccharine falsetto, mocking the comforting words he'd spoken to countless grieving souls. Then his voice dropped cold and rasping. I'm so proud of you, son. I'm with you always. The words were cruel now, dripping with malice, as he threw them back at the people who had believed in him. The audience recoiled, the room filled with gasps and stifled sobs. The truth was out, ugly, raw, and unrelenting. Damien had never spoken to the dead. He had only ever spoken to the desperate, the broken, the grieving. And now he stood before them, stripped of the mask he had worn for so long. The voice in his head laughed, satisfied, as Damien stood there, his body shaking with fever, drenched in cold sweat. His limbs felt heavy, weak, but the force holding him up, pushing him onward, wasn't his own. The voice had hollowed him out, leaving behind nothing but the bitter shell of a man who had built his life on lies. The lying stops tonight, Damien. And in the shattered silence of the theater, Damien Frost, the great medium, the man who claimed to speak with the dead, finally fell silent. Chaos erupted like a wildfire. The once rapt audience, mesmerized, awestruck by Damien's every word, was now a writhing mass of confusion, disbelief, and fury. Voices clashed, rising in volume, until the air buzzed with anger, shock, and the uncomfortable weight of too many truths laid bare. People stood, shouting over one another, their faces twisted in a mix of horror and rage. How could he know that? Someone yelled from the back, the voice trembling with disbelief. No one could have known that about my father. No one. But he just said he was lying, another voice spat back, skeptical, almost gleeful. It's all a trick, just like the rest of them. And yet, those who have been the focus of Damien's twisted revelations, those whose secrets have been spilled in front of everyone, sat paralyzed. The middle-aged man whose father had haunted him all his life stared blankly ahead, his hands still gripping the armrest as if they were the only thing tethering him to reality. Elaine, the widow, sat motionless, tears streaming silently down her cheeks, the shock still fresh and raw, too devastating to fully process. The young woman who had learned of the sibling she never knew existed was folded over, her sobs swallowed by the chaos around her, her grief now a deep, festering wound. And Damien? Damien was no longer there. His body lay crumpled in the center of the stage, a lifeless heap in the spotlight, surrounded by the shattered remnants of the man he had once been. The audience, frantic and unsettled, barely noticed the shift. Some glanced at his motionless form, but quickly turned back to the swirling storm of disbelief. He had spoken with such venom, such brutal honesty, that it seemed impossible to reconcile the lifeless figure on the stage with the man who had, just moments ago, ripped their lives apart. But those who dared to look longer, to study the scene more carefully, saw it. The body was there, yes, but Damien Frost, the essence, the consciousness, the man who had so masterfully commanded the stage, was gone. His eyes were open, staring blankly up into the rafters, the gleam of life no longer present. His chest did not rise. His fingers, once deft and manipulative, were limp and unmoving. He had collapsed like a marionette whose strings had been violently severed. The demon, the voice whatever it had been, had hollowed him out and left him discarded on the floor, a shell, a husk. How did he know? The question echoed through the theater, whispered, shouted, and screamed by those who were still trying to reconcile the paradox of Damien's final performance. He had confessed to tricking them, to feeding them lies. But the things he had revealed, the secrets he had pulled from the depths of their lives, were too real, too personal, to be mere tricks. He had reached into their souls and exposed their deepest shames, their darkest fears. How could he have known? The skeptics, emboldened by his confession, stood tall, their faces twisted with smug satisfaction. To them, Damien's fall was the ultimate confirmation of what they had always believed. He was a fraud, and they had been right all along. "It's all a hoax," one man shouted, his voice cutting through the din. "He's no different than the rest of them. This is what they do, con men, every one of them." But the others, the ones who had been at the center of Damien's assaults, were shattered, emotionally destroyed. They had come to him for comfort, for solace, for answers. And now, they were left with nothing but doubt. Was Damien a fraud? Had he lied to them from the start? Or had he somehow touched something beyond the veil? Something so dark and unknowable that even he hadn't fully understood it? A woman stood, tears streaking her face, her voice trembling as she shouted into the chaos. "But he knew. He knew things about my husband, things I never told anyone. How could he have known?" The crowd turned on itself, divided between those who clung to their disbelief and those whose foundations had been ripped apart. Some demanded answers, others tried to leave, but most simply stood there, staring at the stage, at Damien's lifeless body, as if waiting for him to get up again, to explain the madness that had just unfolded. But Damien would not rise. He was gone. And still, the phones were recording, capturing every moment, every broken sob, every horrified gasp. The strict instructions not to film had long since been forgotten. People were uploading the footage as it happened, feeding the insatiable hunger for shock and scandal that would soon spread across the internet like wildfire. Damien Frost's final performance was already going viral. But Damien, lying crumpled in the spotlight, would never know. In the dim light of the stage, his body remained pale and still, untouched by the chaos around it. The demon's hold, whatever it had been, was gone, leaving only an empty vessel behind. The crowd, lost in their disbelief, didn't realize that Damien's collapse was not just physical. His spirit, his essence, the very thing that made him Damien Frost, had been consumed, devoured by the truth he had spent so many years running from. He had lied to them all. And now, in the brutal aftermath of his confession, there was no redemption left to find. Only the hollow echo of the truth he could no longer deny. The headlines came swiftly, carried on the wings of scandal. Damien Frost, medium exposed in final seance scandal. They called it a breakdown, a public unraveling. The videos were everywhere, snippets of Damien's fevered confessions, the horrific truths he'd spat out, the devastating collapse. It all played out like a grotesque sideshow, shared millions of times over, dissected on every talk show and social media feed. Damien Frost was no longer the celebrated medium who whispered to the dead. He was a fraud, a cautionary tale, but no one spoke about what really happened, not in the way that mattered. The secrets he'd revealed, the truths that had torn his audience apart, were buried beneath the spectacle of his fall. People forgot, or pretended to, choosing instead to focus on the man who had claimed to bridge the gap between life and death and then spectacularly failed. For Damien, though, there was no forgetting. He lay in a hospital bed now, alone in a sterile room with nothing but the low hum of machinery and the occasional shuffle of nurses' shoes in the hallway to remind him that the world still moved on without him. The doctors had said it was a severe mental break, a psychotic episode brought on by stress. That was the narrative they crafted. His body had shut down, his mind unraveling in the midst of a live performance. And now, he lay there, unresponsive. His eyes remained open, but they saw nothing. The truth was simpler and far more terrifying. Damien Frost was gone. He hadn't died, not in the way that people understood death, but the man he had once been, sharp, cunning, confident, had been hollowed out. Whatever had whispered to him that night, whatever had seized his mind and forced him to confess, had taken everything. His mind, once so quick, so adept at manipulating the living, was now a blank, vacant space. He no longer heard the voices of the dead, or anything at all. The voice, that mocking, insidious presence that had tormented him for years, was silent. He was trapped somewhere between life and death, a ghost in his own body, and no one knew. No one cared. The doctor spoke of recovery, of therapy, of medication. But Damien wasn't recovering. He wasn't there to recover. Outside his room, the world moved on. The scandal had passed its viral peak, and though Damien's name was still whispered occasionally, it had already begun to fade into the background noise of fleeting headlines. The next scandal, the next sensation, had already taken its place. But in the quiet of his hospital room, where the dim light filtered through drawn curtains, Damien lay still. His body, weakened and frail now, remained where it had fallen that night on stage. His breathing was shallow, almost imperceptible, but it was there, a rhythmic, mechanical reminder that life still clung to him. But inside? Inside, Damien was no longer the man who had courted fame and fortune by manipulating grief. He was nothing. Some nights, when the hospital was quiet and the halls were empty, a nurse might pause at his door, looking in at his still form. They'd shake their head, muttering something about the tragedy of it all. How a man so seemingly powerful, so in control, could be reduced to this, an empty shell. And still, the gift that had defined his life, the one that had brought him fame and fortune, was gone. The whisper of Ethan, his childhood friend who had once been his comfort, was silent now. The demon, if that's what it had been, had taken its due. The lies, the deception, the manipulations had ended that night. And with them, Damien had ended too. There was no redemption. No final act of atonement, only the cold, unrelenting truth that had torn through him like a storm, leaving nothing in its wake. The gift was gone, and so was Damien Frost. And there you have it, dear listeners, the chilling tale of Damien Frost, a man whose greatest deception was not just in the lies he told others, but in the lies he told himself. Some truths, it seems, can never be buried, no matter how deeply we try. If this story left you questioning the line between the living and the dead, or wondering what secrets the shadows might hold, you're not alone. There are more stories just like this one waiting for you at midnighttales.org. Whether you're in the mood for more unsettling mysteries, eerie encounters, or spine-tingling twists, you'll find them all there. And if you enjoyed tonight's tale, consider supporting the show by purchasing our stories as ebooks. Your support helps us keep the midnight fires burning. Thank you for listening to Midnight Tales. Until next time, remember, the night is never as quiet as it seems. Sleep well if you can.